didn't sing. Brother Jeff, you lead us in a word of prayer before we sit down, please.
Dear most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, good Lord, continue tonight to God's own to know how, dear Lord, just thank you, dear Lord, for this beautiful day, dear God, yes, bless us with the opportunity to be in your house one more time, dear God. And dear Lord, we pray, dear Lord, tonight, dear God, that your will be accomplished, dear Lord, for this man of God. Dear Lord, as he expounds upon your word, dear Lord, and dear God, be with each one that they might be sensitive to your word, dear God, and dear Lord, that you draw with cords of love, dear God. And we thank you, dear Lord, most of all, dear Lord, for dying on Calvary's cross, dear Lord, for a world of all sinners, dear God. We thank you for your saving grace. We thank you for the dying grace and also the keeping grace, dear Lord. And we ask, dear Lord, you just go on with us through the remainder of the service, dear Lord. And dear Lord, may you be lifted up.
Yes.
And
yes,
dear Lord, above everything else, yes, God, tonight, dear Lord. And yes, we ask, dear God, once again, dear Lord, you just let the man of God be able to recall those things that you've laid on his heart, dear Lord, and that he would bring it across in a loving way. And dear Lord, we'll be careful to give you praise, glory, and honor for all that you do. For these things, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. And Brother Jeff will be here Wednesday night, if Lord willing, he'll be leading our message, or having our message that night, and looking forward to that. But tomorrow night, Brother Charlie is going to be here, and I tell you what, looking forward to the rest of the week. It's going to be wonderful, I know that. But you know, as Brother Jeff was just praying, this scripture came to my mind, and it's a very familiar scripture, and it's a good scripture to go with revival. But it's in Psalms chapter 51, verses 10. And, you know, David, you know, of course, David has committed terrible sins. But, you know, God can forgive those sins. And he did forgive those sins. And we all are guilty of all kinds of sins. But, you know, right here is we need to renew our heart. And this is what it's talking about here. This is where David's saying this. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Yeah.
As Jeff was praying, that scripture came to my mind there, and I think that'd be a great scripture just to, you know, that's revival right there.
Sure.
Create a new spirit in me tonight. And that's what we need to do. And we go follow the Lord's spirit. And if there's anyone here who has a word of testimony, by all means, please, please mind the Lord tonight. And you may be the key to the service. You never know, but we're gonna just mind the Lord, and that's what we're gonna do tonight. But look to page, take your church home, look to page 317.
Jesus, the Lord, I will sing.
too, if you have a song or a special song you like to sing, and you, by all means, you'll mind the Lord tonight. If there's a song in your heart, April, if there's a song you like to sing, I asked you earlier, if there's a song you like to sing, you can sing. Okay, put it on the spot again, didn't work. Let's do Are You Washed in the Blood? I think that's look to page 177. 177. Yes. April, I'm just kidding you right now. Sing this song, Jess. Do you have one you can share with us? Okay, good. Are you washed in the blood? Here we go.
Have you been to Jesus for a cleansing by? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you holy, trusting in His grace and His power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood?
What? But that old ship was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? At the stern of the ship was the captain. I could hear as he called out my name. Get on board, it's the old ship of Zion. It will never pass this way again. As I step on board, I'll be safe with Jesus, the captain, sailing out on the old ship of Zion. This song has been sung here a lot by people who sing a lot better than me. Shut up. It was one of those songs that I would sit and listen to and see all the older people in the choir singing. It was one of those songs that I just always wanted to join in and sing on. And a lot of the people, most of the people who would stand up there and sing aren't here anymore. And the ones who are here aren't able to anymore. And so it's just real hard. Sorry, y'all. But
bless you, sister.
It's still just one of my favorite songs. And I'm sorry, I got choked up. But
Before we sing anymore, Brother Wayne, I just want to tell you that I love the Lord tonight. I really do. And I appreciate you singing that, Sister Jess. What a blessing.
Yeah.
What a blessing that was. And our son, back when he was going to church, he would sing that periodically, and I'd love to see him back in church again. I really would. I tell you, I'm thrilled to be here tonight. I am. I love the Lord, and I love each one of you, and I've been looking forward to this service tonight as we worked around the farm today and just meditated and thought about this service, and I'm just so glad to see each one of you. I want to say this. I noticed the kids. I want to give them a flower. When they came in, just a little while ago, when Kelton came in, I saw them just hug necks. Boy, I thought they're so much further along than I was when I was that age. You couldn't have got me to hug nobody. Kids, I love you. Boy, we're thrilled. We're thrilled to see you. Amen. 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 And coming over here tonight, I listened to that gospel station out of Boaz, and we usually keep that on the radio a lot. They play a lot of the old time gospel music. And when I was a teenager, or in my early 20s, like a lot of young people, I was sowing some wild oats, and we would, if Willie Nelson or Hank Williams Jr. or somebody like that came to Birmingham, we'd always go, and not only would we go, but we'd act like heathens, so we'd fit in. And coming over here tonight, I heard Willie Nelson singing "Just As I Am."
I heard that too.
And he was singing it with a lot of feeling. And I thought to myself, I said, "Boy, he's changed. He's changed." Then I thought, boy, I've changed.
Yes, yeah.
I've changed.
Amen.
I don't have any desire anymore, Sister Pam, to go to no loud band concerts anymore. But I have a desire to see folks saved.
Amen.
I have a desire to listen to the kind of music that we've been hearing tonight. Yeah. Boy, that's what stirs me up now.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
But I would like to think and hope that
some of those entertainers that were popular when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I would like to think and hope that maybe, just maybe, they found the Lord.
Yeah.
Just maybe. He might change in your life today. He really should. My old desires that I had are gone away, and I have new desires now.
Amen.
Amen. And I saved when I was doing a lot. That's the sad part about it. But I knew better. I knew better. Wasn't raised that way. Can't blame it on mom and daddy. I can't go on no talk show and talk about, well, it was somebody else's fault, and I'd like that. It was mine. The choice I made. But I tell you, I'm glad of the change he's made. Isn't it funny how as you get older, your priorities begin to change?
They do. Sure.
This is a thrill to me, coming over to the house of God.
Amen.
And if after this service, if Lord Terry's coming, I'm thrilled about going home and going to bed. I am. That's a big night for me. But I love you tonight. I really do. And it's good to have Brother Mike here with us. Love you, Brother Mike. It's been a long time since you were at Valley Grove, I believe, pastoring there, when Brother Sam Johnson was ordained.
Yeah.
And that may have been the last time that I was in service with you. I don't know. We may have been in service in the association sometime or another, but it's good to see you tonight. We've been praying for you.
Amen.
And if it falls your lot to preach, we want the Lord to hide you behind the cross and just give you, and we want us as the church to give you all the liberty that you desire. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this is a good night to be saved. Everybody in the house may be saved. I hope we are. Hope we all are. But I don't know that. I just know about myself. But if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, this would be a good night to get saved. If you're here, and I always want to say this, we talk about reaching for the lost, and that is the most important thing. But Sister Marilyn, there's a lot of people in this world depressed, and a lot of them are Christian people that are depressed today. And that bothers me that they're depressed. And I feel like one thing is being part of the church that we ought to try to minister to those folks and help them. Because when you're depressed and down and out, or you're stressed out about something, you can't be a good light to somebody else. It's hard to be a light to somebody else when I've been in that position. But I'm glad that there were some folks that cared enough about me when I was in that position. Preachers to preach the gospel to me and to preach the way to happiness and the way to joy. And folks testifying to that. So that's what I want us to do tonight. So whatever the need you might have in your life, no matter how small or how large it is, we're serving a God that's an everything God.
Amen.
He is. So I love you tonight, and we're going to go on with the service, and I want Brother Wayne to lead us in some more song. And if you got a special to sing, you sing and testify tonight. I when I was praying a little while ago, I said, Lord, if you want us to testify tonight, have some folks testify.
Yeah.
And just whatever God leads us to do. But we're going to go on with the service, and you just mind God.
Brother Wayne, could you sing Jesus Loves Me? In the celebration hymnal.
Sweet, sweet spirit.
Yeah.
song. You know, his brother Steve was sharing there with us, you know, we change. I've changed a lot.
Yeah.
And but you know, there's one thing that don't change.
That's God.
That is God.
Amen.
That is God. I can change. I can get up in the morning and sometimes I just forget about God. He don't forget about me. He don't forget about me. He never changes. He loves me regardless. You know, I slip and fall every day. Every day I slip and fall.
Me too.
But he's going to reach down and pick you right back up.
Sure.
And dust you right off and say, carry on. He loves us. And you know what? We're going to share a song right here and saying this. You know, he never changes, but you know, I'm a very needy person.
We all need
me too.
Yeah.
But you know, there's only one thing that I need, and that's really him.
Yeah.
That's all I need. And he knows. He knows what I need. And we're going to share a song here just about that. And I'm going to get Vanessa and Royce, if they come up here.
You want to share a song?
Thank you.
chorus with us, sing that chorus with us. My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh, yes, He knows just what I need. His love is wise and everything supplies. Yes, He knows just what I need. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He knows exactly what you need. Amen. Does anybody have anything, a word of testimony you'd like to share? Mine and the Lord tonight. Mine and the Lord. Well, Brother Michael, if you ready, we'll just turn this over to serve you, brother.
That song, I'll be ready for anything.
That's right.
Bless the Lord.
Well, that'd be good, brother.
Wonderful.
Bless you, Brother Mike.
Amen. It's good to be here tonight.
Amen.
I appreciate the opportunity that I've been given to be here. It's been a long time. And I'm going to try my best not to. I could reminisce for a couple of hours. That wouldn't do anybody any good. It might do me some good, but it wouldn't do anybody else any good. But this is where I got saved.
Amen.
And it was in the summer revival in 1965. And as I look around tonight, I'm fairly certain that a large percentage of the people in this building wasn't around then. I don't know. The Lord called me to preach in 1980, and it's been an interesting road. The Scripture talks about it describes preaching as foolishness, or the foolishness of preaching. By that, men are saved, and of course, it's not that. The words that are preached are foolish in any way. It's just that one of the writers said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's the idea that a man who has faults and failures can preach the everlasting gospel of Christ, and it can have its effect. Fascinating to me to think about it, especially when years ago I used to listen to this preacher that was on the radio on my way home from work every night. And I wish I could remember his name. He was out of somewhere in Texas, and some of y'all might be able to remember his name, but he had this Texas accent like I'd never heard before. Anyway, I would listen to him, and there was this one thing he said one time that just really got my attention. And he said, if you really knew my life, and if you really knew what kind of person that I really am, you'd probably turn the radio off and never listen to me again. Now, he didn't mean that he was that his day job was being a bank robber or anything like that. He didn't mean that. He simply meant that he was like anybody else.
Sure.
Had faults and failures, and you know, your pastor mentioned a while ago that sometimes with age comes wisdom. I'm not sure, but what
the thing that I've learned is just how much that I don't know and how ignorant I really am. I'll just be honest with you, when the Lord called me and then when I was called to pastor, I was a go-getter, and I wanted to go and I wanted to get involved in that, and I did. I spent 6 or 7 years at Macedonia. That was the first place I pastored, and usually on a Sunday morning I'd be out on the side of the road. You've been to Macedonia. I don't know, did you ever get on the side of the road and try to wave cars? Well, I did that. I had a zeal, and don't think that I've lost the zeal. I've still got that. But I've realized just how small and inadequate I really am. But I've also learned that if we'll be willing, that the Lord would, He'll use anybody. And one of the writers mentioned that our strength is made perfect in weakness. And you're looking at somebody that's weak. You know, when you get right down to it, you get to this age, and I'm still, I used to be the youngest in the family until Marilyn came along, but we're not young anymore. Even Marilyn, she's bringing up the rear, and none of us, me and my brother and sisters, we're not young anymore. Even though that's our name, it's somehow time has caught up. Years ago, when Brother Chris, I know you remember, Brother Sister Phillips, that used to sing, and it was a song that they sung, that the name of it was "Time Has Made a Change in Me." And I never really thought a whole lot about that song, but over the last few years, it has really gotten close to me, and it's gotten my attention. I definitely need your prayers for just a few minutes. There's some familiar scripture that I want to read tonight, and I have a thought that I want to leave with you, and I have no idea. Most of you I don't know. I know several people here tonight, but most of you I don't know. And I have no idea what, if there's anybody in the building, it's already been said, don't know if there's anybody in the building that's lost. But I would dare say that even in a small number like this, and Brother Pastor's already mentioned it, you know, life is, sometimes it gets tough. And every once in a while we need something that will lift us up.
Sure.
And you know, there's nothing like the Word of God that will lift us up. Last week in our revival at Pine Bluff, there was one night that there was shouting in that service from the, just about the time it started till about the time it ended. And I thought, well, it still exists. Here it is. Right? This is, I remember it so well down through the years. And when folks would shout, I remember Sister Matthews would sit right there in her wheelchair, and she would never say much, but every once in a while she'd raise her hand up, and she could make a sound that would sort of make the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. But I don't know that you could interpret that as far as words are concerned, but the scripture says the Spirit maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered.
Amen.
God knew what was on her heart, and I'll just tell you, it was always a blessing when I heard her shout. And
I'm afraid today too many folks have lost their shout. In the book of Mark, in the fifth chapter of the book, some scripture that that has always meant a lot to me. If you will pray for just a few minutes, we're going to start in the 25th verse down through the 34th verse. Fifth chapter of the book of Mark. I guess it's the humidity or my tears, but my glasses have fogged over and I can't see a thing. I guess I better see what little bit I can out of these glasses or I won't be able to read anything. Fifth chapter, beginning in the 25th verse. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned himself about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. That's as far as we'll read. I've discovered a long time ago that, and this is revival, and we always want to think about lost folks, and we should always reach out for lost folks. That should be what's always on our mind. But I've discovered a long time ago that even in those messages that reach out for the lost, so I said, well, that was a good message for so-and-so to hear, but I've never heard a message in my life but what there was something in there for everybody.
Sure.
And, and we do that too much. We say, well, that preacher, he wasn't talking about me. He surely was talking about somebody else, because I would never do that. But the truth is, the scripture is something that, and there's nothing else like this in the world, if you've ever thought about it. I mean, it's not like the Reader's Digest. I used to, and I guess this just shows how dull I've always been, but Roger, I used to read the Reader's Digest all the time. I thought it was interesting. You did too. I loved reading it, but it never really thrilled me a whole lot. The stories were interesting in there, but the scripture is something that it says of itself that it's sharper than any two-edged sword,
amen,
dividing asunder the bone and marrow. It has that ability. The scripture and the word of God can do things to us, it can do things for us, and it can change our lives if we'll let it.
Amen.
Too bad too many times we don't let it. So there's this woman that the scripture says that for 12 years she had this issue of blood. I read where some of the medical experts, they've pinned it on several different things. I don't know exactly what it was, but the condition that she had, and it involved blood. And in looking back on her, she's someone for us to feel sorry for, because in the shape she was in, having the condition that she had, nobody wanted to have anything to do with her. As a matter of fact, she was considered unclean. Don't have anything to do with her, she's unclean. The priest has even certified it. She's unclean. She's not somebody to associate with. She's somebody who, it's a sad situation she's in, but you know, maybe she did something wrong that caused this to come upon her. And I'm going to tell you, we do way too much of that. But this woman, for 12 years, that had the same situation, and she dealt with it day after day after day. Yes. Now, you talk about getting down in the dumps about something. A disease that you deal with day after day after day. It's tough, and it's not easy. We've got a daughter at the house that's dealing with several different diseases, and it's people will ask how she's doing, and I know how this is because I've done the same thing. When I ask how somebody was doing, they'd tell me, and then 5 minutes later, I've already forgotten about it, forgotten the condition that that person was in. But people who deal with these chronic things day after day, it's not easy. It's not easy. And I mean, you've got to depend on the Lord, because if you, there'll be nobody else that will be able to be with you in those moments that you're by yourself. Who else can you turn to but the great physician?
Amen.
Well, she was in a situation where for 12 long years, and the scripture says that she had spent all that she had. Without a doubt, there were times when people would come through maybe where she lived, and they would say, "I've got exactly what you need," and she would run after that and pay for whatever that was. And you know, we live in a world like that where it seems like everybody's got a solution for our problems, but it all of it involves the exchange of cash.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Cost you
something. And that's the situation this lady was in. But the scripture said that she had spent all.
Right.
You know, it's really sad that it took so long for her to get to that point where she was ready to seek out something that really could make a difference. But finally, when all was lost, all hope was lost, the scripture tells us that she had heard about Jesus. I hope that when I die, I hope that there'll at least be somebody that says, "You know, he spent a lot of time telling people about Jesus."
Yes.
He spent hours telling folks about what Jesus could do for them, and telling them about the fact that he was in the tomb for 3 days, and afterwards the tomb was found to be empty because he rose the third day. If we have the desire to tell the world anything, it ought to be about what Jesus could do for him.
Amen.
So she heard about Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of like the man that prayed. I think his son had, he may have been the one that at times he would throw himself in the fire. I can't really remember exactly which one, but the Lord said, if only you believe that he could help this young man. And the man's response was, "Yea, Lord, I believe. but help that man unbelief.
Amen.
You ever been there before?
Yes, sir.
Sure. Well, in that case, the Lord helped that man's unbelief. I don't know how many times, how many hours this woman spent, dark hours, wondering what was going to become of her. But she had heard about Jesus, and she decided within herself that this man, based on what she had heard about this man, this was different than any other person she had ever heard about. She had never heard that someone could, maybe she heard that he fed 5,000. I don't know, maybe she heard that he turned the water into wine. I don't know, but there was something about what she heard that convinced her totally that he could do something for her.
Yeah, amen.
The scripture says that Christ was actually on his way somewhere else when the situation with her arose. He was on his way to help somebody else. And I want to tell you, there's been lots of times down through the years that, now I'm not Jesus and I can't heal, but there's been times, Brother Jeff, when I've been headed to this hospital to visit and somebody would call and say, "Need you over here," and, but I've never been able to be two places at one time. I never have. But I want to tell you, the Lord can work here and he can work there, and wherever he's needed, he can work and he can bless. And aren't you glad? I know this woman was glad that that he was willing to take some time with her. He wasn't so busy, but what he wasn't willing to stop for just a little bit to pay attention to this woman that folks didn't want to have anything to do with. But he stopped. Scripture said that she touched his garment. I don't know why I'm looking at this because I can't see it. Scripture said that she touched the garment he was wearing, and she immediately felt that she was healed of the condition that she was in. You know, down through the years, I've heard people talk about, well, the doctor said I had this or that, and folks prayed and went back later and it wasn't there. And I've heard people say things like that before, but just hearing them tell the story, it just didn't seem like it really had a whole lot of meaning to them. That somehow it seemed to me like if the Lord actually healed wouldn't it be something, Pat, if the Lord touched your back and healed all those problems that are up and down her, wouldn't it? I want to tell you, if I saw something like that, I believe that changed my way of looking at things. But there's a lot of folks that I've heard say that, and it just made me wonder whether there's anything to it or not. A few years ago, there was a man who was a member of a church that I was trying to pastor, that, and this man, I had total confidence in him. As a matter of fact, I had his funeral the other day, but I had total confidence in him. I would believe anything he told me, because he was just that good of a person. He was an honest man. And he started telling about his daughter, him and his wife's daughter, when the little girl was about 18 months old. and she had been diagnosed with a cancer of some kind. And they, and I mean, this was something, they had the whatever kind of scan or x-rays that that they had at that time, and it was there. The cancer was there. The tumor was there. They had proof that it was there. And as he told me the story, he started crying, and I, knowing him, I knew that I needed to be paying close attention to what he was saying, because he was telling me something that was important. And he said that we struggled with this. They were about to do this. They had planned the surgery for the next day, and his father-in-law was Denton Brand. They went to church over at Allgood. And the night before this was to happen, Brother Brand and some of the family, the pastor that was there, they got together in the church and they prayed. And after a little bit of praying to the altar, they said, Brother Brand jumped up and he said, we got to get in the car and go to the hospital. We got to tell them to don't do the surgery. Don't do it. It's not necessary. The Lord's healed this girl. Now I want to tell you that for the words like that to just come out of your mouth, you know, that's, boy, that would be something, wouldn't it? But that's what he said. So they got in the car and they went to the hospital, and they got there before the surgery, and they told the doctor, they said, you got to look again. You got to test again. Don't do the surgery. And the doctor said, well, we know it's there. We've proven it's there. But since you seem to be, well, what the doctor was doing was just satisfying him. That's what he was doing. He said, we'll check it out. Well, they checked it out. It was gone.
Amen.
Chris, when he got to that part of the story, oh boy, whoo, that just really got to me. And now all these other folks that I've heard say the Lord healed them, now I respect that, I really do. But this man's the only one that I've ever heard that told it just like that. And I didn't mean to get off into this, but this woman, the scripture said that she touched his garment. She felt that she was healed. And then the Lord stopped and he said, who touched me? And of course the disciples, and I want to tell you, it took those men a while before they ever really got this, you know.
Sure.
They had already seen all the things that he had done, but they said, you're in a crowd, and you say, who touched you? Of course there's going to be somebody, but he said, I felt virtue go out of me. And if you'll get a concordance, an exhaustive concordance, and go to the Greek word on that, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but by any means, I just barely got through high school English. Miss Lewis wasn't sure I was going to make it or not, but that the word virtue, it's sort of like, and I'm not really sure how to explain this, but possibility. What is possible? Now I want you to think about that for just a second. What is possible? The Bible tells me that with God, you can finish it. With God, all things are possible.
Yeah.
all things are possible. He felt that part of him that was divine and unique and all-powerful. Somebody tapped into that and he felt it within his body.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, I don't know why other folks weren't running up and doing the same thing, but what the Lord told her at the end of that conversation, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, you know, all of this is, it's sort of like the process of salvation. Now, if you'll pray for just a minute, I need to wrap this up. It's sort of like the process of salvation. First of all, she heard about Jesus. I was carried to church all of my life, and I'd heard about Jesus all of my life. I had heard the scripture preached, and I got saved when I was 12 in 1965. Up until that point, no telling how many times there have been times that I've wished that I could hear Brother Jay Moore preach just one more message.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Bless you, Lord.
She heard. First of all, she heard the rumors. And then, and of course, the scripture doesn't really tell us what she saw, but there was, of course, faith has nothing to do with seeing, does it? Paul said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, there were some things that she had not seen, but she thought enough of Jesus that she believed that he could make a change in her life. And the scripture says that she made a lunge for him, and I don't think she did that while she was standing up to reach the heart, the hem of his garment. I believe she went down on her knees.
Sure.
And exhibited that faith that she decided she was going to place in this man. And it had its intended effect.
Amen.
And so she was afraid, but Christ basically said, come here, let's talk about this. And she told the truth. One of the others, apostles, one of the other renderings of this, he basically said she told the truth. She told what happened, that she had this issue of blood, and she touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. Now, as far as salvation is concerned, we hear the word. The preached word does this one thing that without this, a lost person would never get saved. And the only way I can explain it is the effect that it had on me that night in 1965. I was probably about the third bench from the back. The congregation had stood. They were singing a song of invitation. I don't know what the preacher preached about. I have no idea. But I had my songbook in front of my face. But in my heart, there was nothing but turmoil. And I knew that there was something seriously wrong with my life. Now, this woman, day after day after day, she was in that condition. She knew that she needed help. I knew that I needed help, and I knew if I didn't
make a change, I would have that feeling for the rest of my life. So I did what anybody would do. The pastor and the evangelists are standing here, and at that time there was a amen corner over here.
Yeah.
And my daddy was over there. And Chris, I wasn't really sure what to do because, to be honest with you, I had gone to the altar the year before. And Charlie, I don't know, you may have been in the bunch, I don't know, but that year before, there were several of us that had gone to pray, and they were asking the others what happened to them. The Lord saved me. That's what they said, and when it came to me, I said the same thing. But that night I was in trouble because I thought I'd gotten saved the year before, but I knew that I never felt this before.
Yeah.
This condemnation.
Yeah. Bless him, Lord.
The world doesn't like that. But without that, and I'm not going to apologize for when the Spirit condemns. I mean, that's far be it for me to say anything bad about that, but it was that condemnation that I felt. And I got over to where Daddy was, and I blurted out, "Daddy, I'm lost." And Daddy had gave me some of the best advice at that moment that I'd ever had, when he said, "Son, I can't save you." That's not what I wanted to hear him say. I wanted Daddy to fix it. He said, "I can't save you, but I can lead you to one who can."
Amen.
And made our way to the altar. And God, for Christ's sake, saved my soul.
Bless your heart.
You know, the scripture talks about this process of salvation in the book of Romans. And it says this. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Amen.
Now that's the process right there. I have no idea whether there's anybody in the building tonight that's lost. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. The Lord is merciful to us. Yes. And you'd have to say in your life that God's been merciful to you. Whatever your life has consisted of, whatever you've experienced in your life, you'd have to say that God's been merciful.
Yes.
And I want to tell you, if you've never been saved, He's allowed you one more time.
Yes. Amen.
To be able to be in a place where ignorant, unlearned. You know, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You got to forgive the vessel. Look past the vessel. Yeah. You got to, because that part is inconsequential. It does not matter who it is that's breaking the bread of life. It does not matter. Because in the whole scheme of things, there have been thousands upon thousands of preachers down through the years that have proclaimed the Word of God. There's so many of them that, well, we couldn't, no way we could name them. They're nameless and faceless as far as we're concerned, but down through the years they proclaimed the gospel. They proclaimed to a lost and a dying world, a world that has no hope, a world that has no opportunity to do anything for itself. I want to tell you, we're weak.
Yes.
We're helpless. If you're here tonight and lost, you're hopeless right now, because up to this point you have not accepted Christ as your Savior. That woman could have, after she heard about Christ and after being convinced of who He was, if she had never come to where He was and confessed who He was, He's the Lord, He's the Son of God, and she confessed what was done in her life, if we never do that, we're of all men most miserable. If in this life only we have hope in Christ,
amen,
we're of all men most miserable. A lot of folks would say, well, Christ was he was a prophet. He was a good man. He was a good person. But I want to tell you something. He is the Son of God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. The Scripture talks about the fact that He came to this world. I was about to say this God-forsaken world. No, it's not a God-forsaken world that we live in, but God has turned His attention to mankind for all of these years, and it was the plan even before the foundation of the world that there would be this lamb that's being slain before the foundation of the world, one that would come and take on Himself on the cross the sins of all mankind. One of the writers said that He became sin as He hung on the cross, and surely that's the reason the Lord turned and wouldn't look on Him, because the God won't, He didn't look on sin. He wouldn't, and He didn't. But Christ took on Himself and became as a man, but He took on this mantle, this cause no one else was could fulfill this cause, this job. There's no one else that had the power. No one else. It was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could be sufficient to cover the sins of mankind, but only the blood of Christ.
That's right.
Before the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and I'm about to finish, before they came out of Egypt, the Scripture said that God told them to put the blood over the doorposts and the lintel, and if the blood was there when the death angel came through, you know what, I would love to have been around when the man that wrote, "I'll pass over you," I would like to have been around that man just sitting next to him when he wrote that song. I believe he was shouting the whole time.
Amen.
Talking about the blood, the fact that God, that Christ Himself, He put Himself in our place. That was where we should have been, but because he loved us so much, and we can't understand. I can't understand that. I love my family. I love my wife. I love my pastor, but I want to tell you this. I think I'd give my life for my family, but beyond that, I think that'd be about it. I don't think there'd be anybody else that I'd want to die for, but I want to tell you the Lord, he not only died for the good, but he died for the unjust. He died for the saved. He died for the sinner.
Yes.
And tonight, if you're here, there's a song that's in one of these books that, as always, every time I'd hear it, it would always pull at my heartstrings, and it said, "Why not tonight? Yeah. Oh, do not let the word depart." Yeah. Oh my goodness! And turn thine eyes against the light. Why not tonight? Now, I beg you tonight, if you're here, you've never been saved by the grace of God, come ahead, preacher, stand with us if you will. Stand with us if you've never been saved by the grace of God. The Lord's calling one more time.
Let's see more.
The word has gone out one more time. After all of these years, down through the years, the word has been preached. And one more time, the opportunity for mankind, for this small congregation. And I want to tell you, I've never been worthy to carry God's word. I've never been worthy to stand behind the pulpit. But to be honest with you, I don't think I've ever seen anybody else that was either. But we're all in the same pot as far as that goes. But tonight, why not? Won't you come and be saved before it's everlastingly too late?
505. 505.
Oh boy. Why don't you come? All the ingredients is here.
Shut up.